Okay, so we spoke out yesterday that we started getting involved in a little bit the depths of how he views Torah and really the world and really the Shechina, the presence of the Shechina in the world in general, and the idea is like this. It was basically like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists in two realms. This is Nefesh HaChaim's Shita and the Goyim's Shita in, I guess, the Musaq of Tzimtzum, which basically means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists completely everywhere. And nothing changed, just like before Hashem created the world, he existed everywhere. Right? Before Hashem created the world, he existed everywhere. So after he created the world, he exists everywhere as well. Nothing changed. It's just that we, because we are natural beings and we cannot handle that type of existence, so therefore we have to treat different mechamis with different places, with different, halachas, but he exists equally everywhere.
Would that have been like that if Adam Chava not committed the...
No, with Adam, without the chet, then probably we would have a greater hasaga. Right. So it's like, for example, if you go into a room and there's a very, you're in a room with a glass door, and in the other side of the room, there's a tremendous amount of light. Now, when the light comes into this room, there's one or two things that could happen. One is it's still tremendously light, and therefore you have to put on sunglasses in order to be able to stay in the room. But the light still exists in the room. The fact that you're wearing sunglasses didn't take that away. Or did the glass kind of block some of the light to begin with? So that would, it exists a little bit in a lesser level for you to be able to handle it. So that's kind of the question. Chaim Volozhin is going much more that it is Hashem exists, nothing changed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence and existence in the Elamos between before creation and after creation. Exactly the same. Okay, fine. So he says, based on this, that Torah is the same way. That Torah really is b'kedushasa 100%, but Hashem made it in a way, the way we experience it is in the way that we can handle it. But in its kedusha, it exists 100%. And he says, this is pshat, in there's a memory in the Zohar. The Zohar says, Torah is satim v'gali. It's open and closed. So what does it mean, open and closed? It means, really, it's wide open. Everything in Torah is there. But it's galu, but it's sasim for us because we can't handle that level. So he says, this is pshat, why? Very interesting, in chapter Chavches, he addresses a very interesting question. What do we call the Kabbalah? What do we call them? What do we call that part of Torah? Torat Hanistar. Nistar, right? That phrase sounds familiar. It's the hidden Torah. So he brings it down and he says that someone asked a question. Someone said, I don't understand. For someone that knows it, it's not hidden. And for someone that doesn't know it, if he doesn't know Baba Kama, it's also Nistar. So what makes this more Torah Nistar than that? Because fewer people know it? I mean, there's nothing Nistar about it. Whoever knows it, knows it. Whoever doesn't know it, doesn't know it. So what does that mean even? So what does that even mean? So he says like this. He says, no. Pshat is that there, this part of Torah is be'etzem nistar from this world. Because it's not, you don't learn it and understand it and have a hasaga in it with the kalim of this world. For example, when you're learning Baba Kama, so you read the Gemara. You know, we accept fact because we accept it, but we still try to understand it. And then once we understand one fact, we go ahead and apply it to something else. And then we ask Akasha from this fact to that because now we understand it now. We understand, okay, we wouldn't have thought of it ourselves. Something we would have understood, maybe Baba Kama, but in Zvachim, maybe you wouldn't have known that Pigol is Pasul. But Lemaisa, at the end, we understand it, It fits into our faculties, and we use it now as information that we use to ask questions, to ask in different shilas. The Torah Sanistar is hidden from our faculties. Even someone that learns it doesn't really understand it on his faculties. He has to accept it as fact, and that's it. You can't now say, oh, well, if this is a fact, so now I'm going to apply it to this case. No, in that case, you have to find a different fact that it applies to. This was the way that, right? So he says that the Torah Sanistar means it's hidden from our faculties, even if you do know it. It's not that it's hidden from
It's beyond our logic or our comprehension.
Correct. That's why it's Nistar. But what you see from that is that we can, this is the only area in the world that we can access something that really exists beyond our faculties. Because Torah, even as it was mishtalesh into this world, exists in the realm that is in the other world. But there's a bridge that you have an ability to get to it. But one condition. Condition is, it's called Kabbalah. What's a Kabbalah? You have to accept it from the generation before. Because otherwise, how'd you figure it out? But Bakama, you don't have to accept from the generation before. You could try to figure it out yourself. This, if you accept it, if you figure it out yourself, then it's not what Nistar anymore. If you figured it out, that means that you now humanized it to the point that now you're using it as building blocks and logic. If that's the case, then it's not what we're talking about. Right? So, you know, when the whole idea is that in now there's no such realm when it comes to a mitzvah. The mitzvah exists physically in this world. There's no other realm that it exists beyond our capabilities, right? Because mitzvahs, once the mitzvah took its shape form in this world, it took a shape in this world. Now there's a shoresh in the mitzvah that we talked about in the whole sefer, that when you shake the lulav, tapping into a koach. But really, the mitzvah exists in this world in a physical sense. Torah never became physicalized. Torah just, we can understand Baba Kama, certain parts of it this way, but there's parts of it that still exist in that realm of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's realm. There's no way we could really understand in our full capacity. It's just that we can accept it as a Kabbalah, as fact. And that's why we don't study it the same way that you study Nistar, a Nigla. Okay? So the difference between Nigla and Nistar is amazing. Nigla is that it's revealed, meaning to say it's available to be understood in the same way you understand to a certain degree. You have to see after the Shema, you have to hear Shemaim, obviously, but you can understand it with your analytical capability, with your mind. The Nistar, you cannot. The Nistar is only because it's a Kabbalah, we understand it, must have been given, it's up there, and you can connect to it, and you can now be, connect to it. You can, but it's still Nistar. It's still Nistar from our capabilities. And that's why the whole process of how you learn it, you have to learn it from a Rebbe, you know, et cetera. Like someone gave a whole speech lately in the Kollel about how, you know, Mashiach is only going to come if we start all learning Kabbalah and everything like that. So, maybe yes, maybe not, but you definitely need a Rebbe to do that, because otherwise you're trying to figure it out yourself.
You need to be older, because you can't really accept that you don't know something when you're younger.
Right. You may come to it with a whole different false perspective. Right. You're going to try to learn it the same way you're learning everything else and trying to figure it out. Now, happens to be that the original Kabbalah, Ramayan Lapiansky said one time, the original Kabbalah that was by the Sfaradim was this, the Kabbalist was definitely like that. He said it was like ancient medicine. There was no rhyme or reason to anything. It was just, you know, this herb heals that, and this herb heals this, and three drops of this oil heals that. There was no medical, you know, it was like haphazard. So he said Kabbalah in the original was like that. We didn't know the system. The first person who made the Kabbalah into a system was the Ramchal. The Ramchal, if you ever learn the Ramchal, even the Mesilat Yesharim is a very organized sefer. Everything's organized and fits into a box. So when Ramchal tried, what he did was, his mahalach was to make it a little bit more mesudar, that there is a system, how it works. Whether that was accepted by everyone or not accepted by everyone, but to a certain degree, there was a more of a system to the, you know, to how everything operates. But regardless, they were just more like saying that this sphere does that and this sphere does this, but not explaining really. So he says that's what it means. Torah is sasim vegalia. It's sasim mevor l'chol meivin shepirushahu shehu aderech anistar me'atarach kedusha. It is nister she'ino kosa mefurish. It's not open anywhere. El shenistar v'nitman ha'inyanim elu b'remez. It's be'etzem hidden. So the Torah is nitman because this part of the Torah is hidden. The derech nigla shabah hu apshuta shemekra. And then there's a derech nigla as well. Okay. Now he. That's why it's very important. You know, the people that learn Kabbalah learn it, have to learn it properly. Omnam ikar hatayim ay Torah. Now he says that's what the Chiddush of Paraduma, by the way, because really in the Torah that we have, we should have some level of understanding of everything. Paraduma is a little bit, you know, the next level. So even in the realm of mitzvahs, we don't have it. But he says here, he continues and he says like this. He said that, remember we learned, I'm just going to remind us, so we have the Hakdama, and then we'll go to tomorrow, and we'll explain it more. Remember we learned in the very, very first shar of the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, how when a certain hashpa from a Kadosh Baruch Hu came out, as it becomes more physicalized, so we said, let's say there's a hashpa for Tov. Okay, there's a hashpa for Tov, but that hashpa of Tov now has to translate into the hashpa of Tov has to translate into now giving you a car. So now, when that hashpa of Tov came out, there was no car, there was no you. So how's that hashpa of Tov now going to translate now that you're going to get a new car out of that? So it has to go through worlds, right? There's a Ratzon, and then that's the four worlds. And each world becomes more tangible, more physicalized, until eventually it turns into, yeah, you got a bracha out of it. Okay? So now it's like this. So he says, as the world goes, as it goes down and becomes physicalized, right? The koach of the world before exists in the world underneath as the neshama of the world underneath. So the koach of the world before is like the neshama for the of the upper world is like the neshama for the lower world. That's why we have a neshama and our goof, right? So each world, the hashpa coming from the world above, it's neshama. What makes it tick? So it's like gears, right? You move one, each one moves the next one. So each world is more spiritual, and therefore it's like the neshama, it's like the unseen part. It's like this core of the world underneath it. So basically he's going to say here in the next piece is that how deep can we get to Torah? As the Torah became down into this world, so can we get, we want to get into the neshama of the Torah. But can we get into the neshama of the neshama? How deep can we get? Or is everything maybe available? It's just available as sod, or there's some parts that's not available at all. That's going to be his question, and he's going to ask questions similar to what you asked. What about Adam Rishon Kod Machet? So he asks it as, what about the Jews at Sinai? It says they were mezgal everything. The rakia was open. Does that mean that they actually saw everything? What did they see? What didn't they see? So we'll see that tomorrow. Okay.
Shkayach. Thank you, Rabbi. Good night.
Thank you, Rabbi. Have a good night.
Good night. Hope was more clear than yesterday.
You gave the gears last time too, I believe.